this is a privilege to be here. I am so excited. And Band, I have to tell you, well, all of you, I have to tell you, I was struck because one of my very favorite songs is All My Fountains. All right, you, and it got played twice. I feel really at home now because I know it's amazing how the Lord works that out. He is so good, isn't he? Yes, he is so good, amen. Well, I have been so eager to get here tonight because, in fact, the other day I sent KZ an email, and I'm just going to find a place for my water while I'm talking to you here for a second. And I said, I am so excited. I don't think I've been this excited to be with a bunch of people. So thank you for letting me just hang out with you tonight. We are talking about listening skills. Boy, doesn't that sound like a lot of fun? But I think we're going to make it a lot of fun because what a privilege it is to come alongside the Lord as he works to reach out, to listen, to love his children. And we get to have a part of that. Oh, would you agree that that's quite a privilege? Yeah. And so to take these times where we're taking a look at granted a handout and that type of thing. And by the way, before we dive in, there are two announcements I have to make. I promised I was going to talk about these pens. And I have a very short-term memory when it comes to my promises. And so here's what I just wanted to invite you to do, because I'm going to do this too. These pens are for us to use this evening, but the next time this group gets together, we need to have pens to use. And I think, Danny, will a box be in the back for us just to plunk these back in? Okay, and I promise I'll remember. You better check me at the door just in case I forget, okay? So we'll do that. And then secondly, as we're getting settled into our time together ahead, I am going to ask you this, because this is going to be a highly interactive session. I hope you're okay with that. If so, say yes! Oh, I like that. You said it with inflection and everything. That's good listening. I think we're almost done. That's wonderful. Well, here's what I need you to do. Because we are going to be rather interactive and we're going to do things with each other, if you happen to be sitting in a row of just one or two people, I need you to cozy up to some others, okay? So shift yourselves around while I'm getting my stuff set up. I'm going to be back with you in 10 seconds, but I want to make sure that you're all comfortable, and it's a good way to meet new people if you haven't met them already. Wonderful. That's great. Thank you so kindly for being that responsive. I really appreciate that. I should mention just a little bit more. Kesey wanted me just to give a little more of a story about my story with the fountains is that I have been there. Would you believe that the fountains at Hosanna has been in existence for 6.5 years already? Wow! That's amazing how fast time flies. And I had the privilege, and I'm probably going to overuse that word tonight, but I really mean it every time I say it, because the job that I happen to have now, just keep it between us, but I really think I have the best job in the world. I really do, because the people that I get to hang out with on a daily basis amaze me. People in their 70s, 80s, 90s. We don't have a 100-year-old right now, but I think there's one bound and determined to get there. Yes. And so it is really just a day-by-day privilege for me to avail myself to listening to these precious saints. And I tell you, some people say, oh, it must be something to be pouring out on people every day, but just as I imagine the stories that you tell in how you pour out, oh, we receive so much more, don't we? Yeah, I see a lot of you nodding, and it doesn't surprise me that the Lord has called you to such a role as what you are serving. And I just want to take a moment to thank you for being so faithful to the call that the Lord has put on your heart to come alongside his precious children. And that's really what we're going to talk about tonight. Well, Danny put a wonderful handout together for us, and I am going to ask you to take a look. I sent her the PowerPoint, and she caught the fact that she said, Mary, that print was so teeny tiny on the little chart, and so she just went ahead and enlarged it for people with eyes like mine. And so I'm really thankful to her. And this is something, and I know that there was always already a reference to it this evening, but this thing of James' encouragement in James 1:19, be quick to listen and slow to speak. That's a beautiful undercurrent to our time of what we are going to be talking about and listening about in the next few minutes ahead. And yes, what we're looking at is really maybe the world's kind of attempt to take that James 1:19 of let's be quick to listen and slow to speak. And as you walk your way around the circle, starting with number one and going through those steps, yes, that was captured as best it could be. And I think that's handy. In fact, when I put this together, I thought, oh boy, there are a couple steps here that I want to polish up. Lord, help me with this process. And quite frankly, one of my prayers have been, while this handout and while the PowerPoint slides were being put together, is that it would be a thing that, yeah, we're going to have fun with it tonight, but I hope, here's my prayer, is that it serves as reference, that this is something that sits on the top of our desks. Maybe this sits on the top of our table where we keep our Bible and our quiet time materials, where we can reflect once again as the Lord continues to teach and minister to our hearts and walk with us on this journey. So, that chart, we're going to look at the first page, and in fact, it's entitled number one, and we're going to get going. And I like that chart, I like this topic, and listening skills, as easy as it sounds, there's a lot to this, isn't there? Because at my word, if we have to attempt to break it down into how many steps? 7 steps. Wow, this is a lot to keep track of, this thing of being quick to listen. I also just want to say I have become a real student, a student with great passion of things that listening is all about. One of them is intentionality. And yes, as we see listed here, is certainly some skills as well. Sometimes listening to people, and by the way, this is where the interactive part really is going to start kicking in. Sometimes I'm going to ask you for your agreement, or if you're not in agreement, you can let me know that too, because this is going to be a dialogue. But would you agree that sometimes when we're listening to people, maybe sometimes our restraint is also necessary? Oh, I'm seeing some nods. In fact, I think I heard an amen sneak out, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, and we're speaking in the context of ministry, we also are talking about love in its greatest measure, because that's really what listening is all about. As we're still on this same slide, what I want you to do is I want you to think back with me. And I invited you to be comfortable a few minutes ago, and I was very intentional in why I was asking you to get comfortable, because I'm going to ask you to get even more comfortable in your wonderful, comfortable brown chair that you're in. But whatever you are at ease doing, because I'm going to ask you to think about something that is personal to you, I want you to just think back. And you can span as many years back in your life as you desire, but I want you to think back, and for me, you can tell, I have to close my eyes when I think back, and if you need to do the same thing, you go right ahead. But think back to a time where you first felt really listened to. You really felt that person had tuned in to what you had to say. Think back to that time. I'm going to pause. As you're thinking back to that time, who was it that did that listening? And what did you speak about? How did you feel as that experience unfolded. How did you feel as that experience concluded? Why do you think this experience has stayed with you all of these years? Anybody willing to share what comes to mind about why do you think that experience has stayed with you all of these years? That person who really listened to you. Anybody? Yes.
So for me, the time that I'm thinking of was actually my very first AA meeting when I was 18. And I just remember this big round table and all these faces. I didn't know anybody and everybody had shared. And when it came to me, I knew that I could just like say anything. They just kind of followed in unison. It was my first meeting ever, so I had no idea what to expect, but they kind of showed me what to do, right? So it got to me, and I remember like literally putting my hands on the table and just like letting it all out. And then I paused, and everybody was still quiet, and I knew I could like let out more, if that makes sense. And there was just so much, and this was even before I knew the Lord, and so it was just, I don't know, if that stayed with me, and that was life-changing. One of the pieces that brings me here today.
Wow. Thank you.
No interruptions, nothing. Just nobody waited for me to stop talking to get their 2 words in. You know, just.
Thank you. What a perfect story to start us out on. Thank you for sharing that with all of us, because that's what we're getting at tonight. Is that feeling of safety, that feeling of somebody is really listening, and this is a safe place for me to share my heart. Wow, what a gift that you received. Thank you for letting us just experience that with you. This thing of active listening is just pointed out beautifully. It's a gift when we're on the receiving end of it, isn't it? And you might notice, and in fact, I'm going to see if I can get the slides working. Ha! How about that? I can. Miracles abound still. Active listening, it is a gift. And it is something where I don't have a single doubt. And in fact, I'm completely confident that everyone in this room would agree that for us to be focused and purposeful in our listening is a desire of our heart. And in order to keep that desire of our heart at a level in which we are going to be fruitful, just as KZ prayed, there are some things that we need to be aware of, or to just be maybe even anticipating. And one of the things, man, this is diving into reality, and thank you for just tracking with this, but one of the things that we need to look at are these things called obstacles, external and internal distractions. In a couple of minutes, I'll share a story with you of some distractions that I had that taught me a lesson, both external as well as internal. But some other obstacles that I think that we can be aware of, too, is sometimes do you ever have a conversation with someone, and maybe it's not in the context of your ministry, maybe it's not in the prayer room or your care situation, whatever that is, maybe it's with a loved one, but you're conversing and you're thinking, okay, I need to say something really clever here to get my way in this conversation. Does anybody other than me do that? I saw 2 smiles. Oh, no, there's 3 and 4. Good. Thank you. And so that can be an obstacle. Another thing is, oh, number 3, now I'm getting really honest. Is this okay? But I do this, is that when I have conversations with people, maybe I have 12 minutes and I need to be in a meeting and I'm with my boss who doesn't like when I'm late and I have a predetermined outcome that this person has to get better real fast. Well, of course, I'm thinking nonsense in that moment because, first of all, it is not my job nor my responsibility to be fixing anyone. I can't even fix myself. That's God's job. But if I go into a conversation with judgments being made of, oh, this is what they really need some help in, or if I have an agenda, or I want an outcome of this conversation to go a certain way, that's not listening. So this thing of distractions is really something, and in fact, I would like to talk about, speaking of distractions, and we're going to talk about this, now it's all going to make sense why I made you move chairs, because here's what I want you to do. I am going to ask you to get in groups of three. So I hope the math works. If you've got, or if you've got two around you, we do need at least three. So if you have to reshuffle, please reshuffle. Aren't we having a good time now? Yes, but if you find at least, groups of three as best you can. And if we have to have a group of four, we'll have a group of four. Okay? Fair. So go, and 20 seconds, we're going to get those groups of three formed. Thank you so much. I promise the next time that you all see me, you can just make me move around a lot, okay? Fair enough. And so here is your first assignment as you are getting settled in. And by the way, if you land in a group of four, don't worry about it. We're going to make it work. But at least three people you need to be with. And once you have found your three people, do this. Those of you that have your group of three, you get a leg up on your homework. You need to choose who's going to be A, who's going to be B, who's going to be C. Go. You've got 20 seconds. Okay. All right. So it looks like y'all got on that. And oh, it looks like the math worked out just perfectly. Isn't that amazing? Terrific. So I always can tell when I'm in a group of people who are compassionate and merciful because here's what I overheard. Not that I was trying to eavesdrop, but it was, well, you can be B if you want to be B. I can be C. I just love that. This is not the exercise, but there is more. Okay. So person A, here's what I want you to gear up your thinking around. You are going to give directions to your house. How many live in the South Metro area? I know where you work because of our poll before. Okay, so I'm going to mix it up a little bit. A's, I want you to pretend you live in Fargo or Des Moines. I don't care. But get ready to give directions to your house, coming from either Fargo or Des Moines. Now, person C, I want you to have a different assignment, and here's your assignment. You are going to think back once again, but this time it's on the lighter side. I'm going to have you think about the best slice of pizza you have had in your life. What made it so good and tasty? And this is where I need you to ham it up along with me. You feel free to talk about how old you were, how many animals you had. I don't care what you tie into the story, but start it out with pizza, just so we stick to the rules. Now, I left out a player. Who was that? Bee! Yes, so bees, it's your job to listen. Oh, and on the count of three, A's and C's, I want you to be ready with your directions or your tale about that wonderful pizza. And B, you can get me back sometime, okay? But here we go. And we're going to try and do this at least for 45 seconds on the count of three. One, two, three.
At the same time?
Yep, same time. Huh? Keep talking. Keep it flowing. Keep talking. Same time.
Thank you.
keep talking at the same time. You just want to keep telling B things. Okay, I'll stop the pain. I saw one woman starting to cry, so it got the best of me. Oh my goodness. So what was that silliness all about? Why did I make you do that? You know, that is an exercise, and some of you have worked with me before. In fact, some of my teammates from our lay ministry team at the Fountains are here too. And I have made them go through that at least twice. Oh, I really owe you. Thank you. But here's the reason I love this exercise, because it's a beautiful metaphor for what listening is all about in our current day world, isn't it? Help me out. First of all, let's talk to the listeners. Oh, let me have it. I'm ready. But here, I want to hear about your experience. Just real quick, shoot words at me. What was your experience when you had both of those people coming at you with their message? Not fun. Yeah. It was what? Annoying. Yeah. Nothing personal, guys, but yeah. What else? Yeah, that's right. You would have been sneaking out. Yeah, just a lot. And did I hear the overwhelmed word over here?
Information.
Oh, yeah, information overload. Wow. Yeah. What's that?
Frustrating.
No, it's so hard to be torn in those different directions. Absolutely. Yes. Say that one more time. Oh, I love that. That's a good note to land on. She said, I was listening about the pizza because I know how to get to Fargo. So, that is perfect. Well, let's go back to figuring out the metaphor piece of this. Think about our current day world, the world that you are in day to day. How can some of what we just experienced, and I'm going to ask you to yell your answers out at me, but what are some similarities between what we just experienced and our everyday world of listening? Talk to me.
Our kids are like that.
Yeah. Oh, Facebook, social media, it's coming at us. Yep. It may not be verbally or through audio, but sometimes it is. But it's a lot. It's a lot. What else? When you speak, sometimes people don't always listen. That's right. They don't hear you. Yes.
Yeah,
focus on what you need to be doing. It's hard when all of that's coming at you. Okay, two more. Yes, multitask. That's the expectation in our culture. Wonderful. And one last one, was it, did you raise your hand or did I? Okay, I'm seeing things. Okay, thank you. All right, yes.
For me, it sometimes is pressure of trials. When it's on this trial, you know, I feel not pressure.
Yeah, the pressures and the trials. Because those can come at us, again, as something that's getting our attention and that can serve as a distraction. Absolutely. Thank you for participating in that, because I told you, yep, distractions, it can be a slippery slope. If you look at that picture, That is a really good representation of me about, oh, let's see, I got to do some fast math as I'm telling this story, about 8 years ago. And this is when I officed over here at Hosanna. I was still full-time on staff, and I was having one of those days. That was not only going on in my cube where you were talking about multitasking, and it just happened to be a day of a really big event that meant a lot to me because it was just going to be a special event. So that was great, but there was a lot to it, as well as it's a good representation, even though I'm not brunette, it's a good representation of what was going on in my head. And how many of you, just by the way, have taken strengths or StrengthsFinder or one of the, oh, wow, okay, so this is going to resonate for you to learn that one of my top five strengths is achiever. Yeah, it's a strength, but it's also the hugest weakness I have. Can you say slippery? Slippery, slope. Because when I get in a circumstance like this, where do you suppose my focus goes? Yeah, some of you are pointing at the screen. I get distracted like crazy. Well, the story that I want to tell you is how the Lord worked so graciously on me that day, 8 years ago, when I was really distracted. And things were coming together. Some of those post-its were coming off the wall, and I was getting stuff done. But it occurred to me, I got to go to Target because I forgot to pick up all that stuff. And I was quickly making a list out, and I got that all set. And then I grabbed my keys, and I had my purse under my wing, and I was going around my cube corner. And just when I did, I saw a visitor coming toward me. And I'm going to be very honest with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to tell you what I was thinking at that time. I thought, oh no, not today. I saw a person that I had had some conversations with previously, and I knew that to have conversations with her, it took time for various reasons. I had that going on as my focus, as my distraction. And I leaned up against my cube wall, and I thought, okay, if I stay here with my purse and my keys and my list, she's going to get the visual cue that I don't have much time. So I'll give her that. But then I got a visual cue. I saw in her eyes, yeah, granted we had had conversations before, but in her eyes, tears were about to fall down her face. And I just thank the Lord, because I really feel it was His hand that led me to set down my purse, to set down my keys, to set down my list, and actually begin to listen to her. And really, what she did since the last time we had spoken, she got me a little caught up, but very succinctly so, and that again was unusual for this person, because sometimes those conversations took time, but she just got right to it. And she started to weep all the more. And thank goodness at this time I had fully tuned in and I had set those distractions away. And at this point I recall that I was actually able to just lean in and really get focused on listening to her heart and to her speak and noticing, oh my goodness, she's really crying. And with the words that she said next, she said, I just crave love. Oh, my word. I had that going on in my head. I almost missed a big opportunity. Now, granted, I don't want to impose guilt or false guilt or any shame on myself, because this was a learning for me just as much as it probably was for her. But how I thank the Lord. Because any person that could have been in her path that day could have been the one that got to hear this breakthrough that she was voicing. Just that sign of the Holy Spirit's healing work that He is faithful to complete. He started it probably conversations ago, but He was being faithful to complete it in her. And I almost missed that moment because of a distraction. You can tell that I'm passionate about keeping in mind some of the things that distract me. It has been a good lesson, and I share it in, and I want you to take away not anything about guilt or shame or, gosh, I should have done this, because no, we have a God that works all things for good. And I tell you, that day was profound in my life because it shaped the way that I now stop and listen, fully listen to people. And that's probably why I am so passionate to this day about this thing of listening. Well, one of the things that we're going to talk about next, and I'm sorry, I set down my handout somewhere, but if you want to find where it says transaction or transformation, that's what we're going to talk about, because the type of conversations, we're going to talk about two conversations. One is transactional, one is transformational. This first one, oh, thank you so much. You might be doing this again, by the way, because like I say, I get distracted. the transaction or transformational, and yes, we are on page 3. Thank you, Kelly. Transactional has a predetermined outcome in mind. And even though we might not be saying the words necessarily verbatim, here's what I need you to do. That's what a transactional conversation is. And I don't want to make us think that I'm slamming transactional conversations, because we need to have them. There are different contexts for which it's very appropriate, such as if we're in a team meeting, people are taking tasks, yeah, here's what I need you to do. That's kind of the underlying message there, and everybody's making a note, oh, that's what I need to do, and they probably say, and here's what I need you to do. So there are transactions going on. But I point this out, the only thing that I'm going to spend time on tonight with transactional conversations is the fact that I rarely have seen that kind of conversation work well in a context of care or prayer, at least from the front line that I've been on. And so we're going to move along, but I just wanted to say, yeah, they're appropriate sometimes, such as delegating or sharing tasks with people or making honey-do lists at the Strong Home in Richfield on the front of my refrigerator. But you might have one of those too. So let's move on to this thing of transformation, because that's going to be key to our time together tonight. If on your handout, if you're a word circler, what I'm going to ask you to circle is the word compassion and supportive. Because obviously, if we're talking about something like the conversation I relayed to you, that individual was seeking someone who would offer compassion and support. And that was a moment of transformation. Transformational listening requires us, as the listeners, to relinquish control of the conversation. What was that now? Relinquish control. I'm uncomfortable saying those words, because it's, wait a minute, aren't I kind of supposed to moderate these conversations and just kind of keep things going? Yes, and what I mean by relinquish control is that we're not predetermining the outcome when we're going into a conversation. Again, then it would turn into a transactional conversation, wouldn't it? Because this is what I need you to do. What we're doing is we're saying, come, be our guest. We want to hear from you. And letting that speaker, that's how we'll refer to the people we're listening to, letting the speaker take the driver's seat. And we can ride along, but they have the driver's seat. Also, what is present in transformational conversations? Oftentimes, they're emotionally healing. Just again, not to keep going back to the same story of what I told you, but I saw several of you resonate as you were hearing that story that, wow, yeah, that was quite a day, what the Lord was doing. So that's a little human thinking, but you know what? I even want to talk about the most important from the real expert, how Jesus listened. And Danny was so kind as to arrange for me someone who is going to read the text for us from Mark 5, 25 through 34. Wonderful. So if you would just speak loud, that'd be wonderful.
She had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She heard about Jesus, so she came up.
Thank you so much for that reading. This is one of those stories. I think it was, maybe it was Jen Alexander a couple weekends ago when she preached. She was talking about the diamond. Every time that you hold it up to the light, you see a different aspect of that diamond. And that's what this Bible story is to me. And I want to take a look at it because it is, we can learn something about how Jesus listened. I have a favorite author, and I, of course, left the book over there, but I'll for those of you that might be interested, he's a new favorite. I just discovered him this past year. His name is Adam McHugh. But some of the commentaries, I love to read commentaries as I study different passages, and I just happened to find this reference that I want to share this paragraph because he stated something that I just thought, wow, yeah, that's true, and it's so appropriate to what we're talking about tonight. So here's the commentary on the passage of how Jesus listened. When a stranger from the crowd touched his garment, he was not content to have his healing power just heal her so he could be on his way. He insisted on meeting the woman who touched him. He wanted to hear her story, not so he would feel informed, but so she would feel known. Because of Jesus, that woman felt seen, heard, understood, and loved. If there are four words, and only four words, that get captured on your heart tonight, beloved friends, those are the words: seen, heard, understood, and loved. We're going to talk about this thing of transformational listening and responding. I'm on the bottom of page 3. And we're going to zip through these bullet points because I'm really wanting to honor your time accordingly. And so we're going to clip through. I might have to skip a few slides that I originally prepared, but that's just my sneaky way of being invited back for part 2 sometime. Okay? Fair enough. But we're going to hit on the highest points, and listening and responding certainly is that. So a speaker is invited to take the lead in conversation. And yes, us as listeners, we have remarks that are inviting, open-ended and broad. Let's just touch on open-ended for just a moment. I know we all know what those are. So when we are using open-ended questions, what are the words that we use to start those questions? Just yell them out at me. How. Yep. What else? What? How long? Tell me. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sorry? Tell me more. Yeah. In fact, hopefully we're going to have time to get to that just a little bit. Excellent. Because that is all very inviting. This next bullet point, healing listening occurs when silence is united with attention and caring. Wow, that's a bunch of words, but would you read that statement with me? Because that's a big one. Healing listening occurs when silence is united with attention and caring. Yeah. I think that's what we just listened to in the words of Mark's account of the woman in the crowd. As listeners, we stay in the present. We're not thinking of the next thing to say. And the next bullet point beyond that is noting the speaker's emotional state, the words used, the body language, and vocal inflections. And in fact, we've done some of that already in the exercises that we're having. But that thing about body language, boy, that's a big one. It's not only our privilege, as well as part of our responsibility as a listener, to be noticing the speaker's body language, but I also have learned I really have to watch my body language. So if that be something that you just want to build in as a little bit of a checkpoint, because let's pretend for a second that I volunteered for your prayer team. And I was standing in the front of the chapel, and I was doing this as I was waiting for somebody to come and pray with me. What messages am I giving out? Uninviting. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And I have especially learned, because oftentimes I'm in my context and speaking with people in wheelchairs. And so, of course, eye contact, that I sit down to do a lot of my conversations, but I have to make sure that I'm not closing my body posture. So if that might apply to a situation that you are giving care in, maybe you'll find that helpful too. Let's move on to listening and responding. Another slide. Oh, and I'm sorry. I haven't been keeping up. Okay, we're just going to work off the handout. How's that? Oh, there it is. Beautiful. Okay. See, I just have to be more patient. That's all. And one more. There we go. So listening, listener stays as objective as possible during the conversation. That first bullet point, that if we have a strong belief in the speaker's potential to see their challenges, what that means is with the individual story that I told you about, she saw her challenge. In fact, I was amazed. Well, she got to the core. The very core of her issue. And when we are trusting that people are going to see for themselves or understand what it would be if things were different, that is going to be far more healing than us talking that at them. Again, I'm getting your head nods, so this is just already affirming what you are doing, and I thank you for that. As we listen and respond, that second bullet point, we can connect with said as well as the unsaid. And that's where the intention or the intentionality is so important, is that to connect with the stuff that isn't being said, we really have to be tuning in. Would you agree? Yeah. That we're fully present for the speaker without an agenda, without judgment at all. I'm going to read you just one more snippet, because it's an important one, worth the time, and this isn't on your handout. This, again, comes from that author. It's going to be the last one that I read, but it's important. He says, we as listeners can listen to as opposed to listen for. When we listen for, we're listening like a prosecutor trying to uncover a hidden motivation, to find something to confirm our suspicion and say, aha, there it is, that's what I knew it was. Do you find that it's easy to break people into parts or diagnoses, or this is how they become issues or categories? And I slipped and I just said they. Yeah, it's easy for us to do that. However, here's the key part. When we listen to, we are embracing them as a whole, not fractions. Even if they offer only a small part of themselves to us, that small part is attached to a bigger story, bigger feelings. By listening to, we invite people to settle in, be themselves, and speak freely. Listening to. I told you, I know, that there were four words, but maybe listen to is worth adding to that list. I love that snippet because what it does as a chaplain, but I think that this absolutely applies to the ministry that you are doing, no matter what the role is. We have, and I'm going to overuse the word again, but boy, do I mean it, the privilege of coming alongside people to meet them where they are at. This conversation that the Lord is allowing us to be in on, it's about them, not about us. And so how I thank you as a fellow listener is that you are cueing in to where is this person at? What is the language that they are using? What are their tears telling me? What are their words telling me? Because I realize now some of you, if you had to guess at the length of your conversations, how long do you think you get to talk with people generally? Just yell it out. Okay, I heard like 10, sometimes 5, yeah, sometimes longer, but wow, it can really vary, can't it? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, for others it might be a relational thing, but in the context Say, for instance, the prayer chapel, you really don't have that much time with people. Am I correct on my understanding with that? Because I see the lines on Saturday night when my husband and I are worshiping, and I imagine it's all the more so on Sundays. And so sometimes it is going to require us to tune into a whole lot. And sometimes, let me get the right slide up there. Yeah. We're listening to some of these things, such as their choice of words. And there is that phrase, I'd like to hear more. I'm just going to offer just one quick thing on that, because I use that phrase in the conversations I have, because people will start out in saying something, and they're using a word that I'm just not quite familiar with, or I don't know how they mean it. And so I'll say more about that. Just a tiny word of caution on that is that we want the speaker in the driver's seat, right? That's what we kind of nodded our heads to. And if we keep cueing them as to, well, now you can speak again, sometimes people can take that as they're going to be looking at you to direct the conversation throughout. So we just use that with caution and very sparingly. But sometimes you are going to get people, has this ever happened to you, in which maybe they have a lot to say because there's a lot going on in their life. Yeah. And so to be having some skills that we can use to just keep that conversation moving, so whatever context that we are given, we can have that conversation for their blessing within that framework. Two skills, and I really hopped ahead on slides, but I did that very intentionally because of the time. But this thing of paraphrasing, I asked for two other volunteers that Danny arranged, and we're going to start wrapping things up, but I just want us to get a sample of that. And we have somebody who is going to be the speaker and somebody who is going to be the listener, and you already have your script, so I'm going to ask you to stand up and just speak loudly. Okay, so there was a lot there, and the listener says. So even if we didn't hear all of that dialogue going on, I think all of us caught on to the fact that, wow, Stacy had a whole lot to say. And wow, you summed it up really well. That is something that we can use, particularly when we don't have much time with people, to paraphrase, because that is very honoring, but we also are, it's that tension of also having the reality of there are people waiting, not only for you who are speaking, but there are more people that are coming and wanting to have prayer. So how can I do this in the most honoring way? Paraphrasing might be a very helpful tool for that. And especially, I'm sure that you too have had conversations where you get with someone where they've got so much on their heart and they feel safe with you. And so they just start pouring out. And I just thank you for how you can say, wow, you've got a lot going on. I hear that you are navigating a lot. And you know what the beauty is that God knows it. How about if we use our time to lift up just one top concern today? And I see you're nodding again, and you've done this. And thank you, because that is very honoring. People don't feel cut off that way. They are going to feel heard that way. And especially when you are putting that focus on the Lord, that He knows everything. He is with you. I am here to pray about that very top thing. And God bless you as we send you on your way with your eyes on the Lord. Oh, what you're doing for that person. I believe that individual that I told you about, I believe that's the kind of ministry she received from different places. And I want you to take that story that I shared and be encouraged, beloved ones, that the Lord, oh, he very much knows what each of these precious children of his need to hear at any given time. And how I thank you with your servant's heart that you have risen to the call to come alongside people and meet them where they are at that very day. That you are part of the faithful work that he has begun to complete within that individual. He has started that work, and yes, he will be faithful to complete it. Amen? Yeah, amen. I have run a couple minutes over, and if it's okay, KZ, could I just close with a very brief thought? Okay. And I apologize that, you know, when I went through this in my office, I got through it in 40 minutes. I guess my clock I was using was not the best clock. But if you really want to know about a slide that's on your handout, feel free to give me a call. I'm always looking for coffee partners, and you know where to find me. But here is my parting thought as we began this time together, is that I had you think back to a time where you felt really listened to. And, you know, that's really kind of the point. I think that if we had more time to discuss each of our scenarios, what we would agree on is not only was that a really safe place for us to be, where we felt that we could just pour ourselves out, but would you just tell me by nods, did you feel loved in that conversation? Yeah. And that's what listening is about, is that we listen to others as we desire to be listened to as well. I thank you for joining me on this journey of being a passionate student about listening. And is it okay if I just offer up a very short closing prayer for us, and then I will turn it over to KZ? Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, thank you for this time. And we give you all that we have, body, mind, and spirit. And God, even though we ran out of time in all we were going to talk about tonight, Lord, we're going to be confident that we talked about what you would want us to hear this evening. The work that you have started, you are going to be faithful to complete. And God, would you increase in us the mind of Christ? And as others see us, may they see you shining. As we see others, would you help us to see them as you see them? As we listen to others, help us to listen as you do. As we open our hearts to understand others, help us to understand as you do. Lord, we long to give you all that we have. Thank you for continuing to teach us your ways. And would you increase in each of us, beginning right now, an ability to love as you do? It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you.